好，感谢主。
Praise the Lord.
今天讲到的题目是回程的经历。
The sermon title today is the return journey experience.
那为什么说要回程的经历呢？
And why we say the return journey experience?
因为我们经文把我们带到了保罗第二次宣教回家的路上了。
Because the scripture just leads us to just pause the returning journey and after the second mission trip.
我们开始讲到以前有个祷告，把时间交给神呢。
Let's start with a prayer.
天父，谢谢你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
谢谢你让我们经历使徒行传的脚步。
Thank you. Just let us experience the footsteps of the Book of Acts.
主啊，使徒行传是我们生命的效法。
The Book of Acts is what we need to imitate.
也是今天教会形成的准则了。
Also, this is the guideline and for churches the schedule.
更加是保罗的教导说，无论得失不得失，我们务要传道，总要救些人。
And this is also Paul's teaching. No matter it's in season or out of season, we need to save some people.
主，我们谢谢你。
Lord, we thank you.
我们愿意一切的荣耀颂赞都归给你。
May all the glory and the praise be yours.
感谢祷告奉耶稣基督得胜的名求。
We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
好，回程的经历。
The return journey experience.
保罗第二次宣教旅程走到今天已经接近尾声了。
Paul's second missionary journey is now nearing its end.
当他在哥林多这个城市满了十八个月的这一天的时候呢？
When he had been in Corinth for 18 months.
他就打算离开了。
He planned to leave.
Yeah, 他原本当然可以原路返回嘛。
Of course, he could just go back the same way.
但是我们看看地图，显然不合适了。
However, looking at the map, it is that not appropriate.
Yeah, 从第一次短宣到现在，他离开耶路撒冷也五年了。
So, from the first mission trip, he left Jerusalem already 5 years.
所以他要回去述职啊。
So he needs to go back and to report on his ministry.
他也答应了以弗所，答应了要去趟以弗所这个承诺，他也得做呀。
Also, he needs to fulfill his promise to go to Ephesus.
所以从哥林多经过以弗所，再回到呀凯撒利亚，再去到耶路撒冷，这条路就变成呀情理之中的事情了。
So therefore, from Corinth to Ephesus, and just return to the city, and that's his schedule.
好，我们先来看第一点。
Let's look at the first point.
停留以弗所。
Stay in Ephesus.
呀，从安提阿出发。
So on the way from just Antioch.
那最后抵达特罗亚这个路上呢
？And on the way to Troas.
按道理来讲，应该经过一下以弗所呀。
So suppose he should just pass by Ephesus.
那来的路上没有经过以弗所，就有一点奇怪了。
So on the way, and he did not just stop at Ephesus. That's kind of strange.
因为他人就来到了亚细亚省啊。
Because he just across the province of the Asia.
有一点是来到德州不来达拉斯，岂有此理，就这种感受了。
The feeling is just like when you arrive Texas, but you didn't come to Dallas.
呀，他对待这个亚细亚省的省会视而不见。从旁经过，所有人都看得很奇怪了。
So it is indeed very puzzling just across the province of Asia, but just do not just stop there.
呀，从以弗所来讲的话，怎么能错过一个如此这般的存在呢？
So just from the viewpoint of the Ephesus, how can you just ignore the existence?
这个有的时候是我们服侍神的时候经历，对吧？
So this is kind of like our experience too.
有些事情觉得啊，不理解，不理解，不理解，不理解，就是不对啊，念啊，念啊，念啊。对不对？这也是我们生命的老我，对吧
？It's like our own nature. When we face something, we always ask why.
你看看上帝是怎么去教导他的子民，带领我们经过这个不理解呢
？Let's see how God just teaches us through this. We just what we do not understand.
呀，首先是临行前的预备了。
First, preparation before leaving.
保罗的临行前，他的预备还真有些让人不容易明白了。
It's really hard to understand.Pause preparations before leaving.
呀，我们心中的疑问可能会问为什么呀
？We may ask why.
为什么他因为许过愿就要在间隔里剪头发呢
？At century, and he had, why he cut his hair?
呀，间隔里离哥林多很近的地方了。
So century actually just from Corinth, that's quite a distance.
所以去间隔里剪头发可能不是重点，重点他是为什么要剪头发了
？So the key is why he cut his hair.
呀，如果我们看民数记六章十八节，大概可以寻找一些渊源吧。
If we look at the Numbers chapter 6:18, we may find a reason.
呀，圣经说拿细尔人要在会幕门口替 黎俗的头，把黎俗的上的发放在平安祭下面的火上，献祭给神的。
So the Bible says, and the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head and put it on the fire that is under the sacrifice of the peace offering.
整个民数记呢？
So for the whole book of that Numbers,
基本上是耶和华教导摩西如何把十诫具体化到犹太人的生命生活里面。
So the book of Numbers is God just asked Moses to tell the Israelites how to apply the Ten Commandments to their lives.
所以犹太律法对于犹太人来讲，毫无疑问就是绝对的上帝的律法嘛。
Therefore, the law for the Jews, and that is that the it's from God.
但是这有那么一点点把一个十诫的绝对性相对化到犹太民族的生命里面去，有一点具体化、本土化、生命化、民族化、选民化的这么一个过程，对吧？
So that is a process just from the absolute Ten Commandments to apply to their real life.
所以会发现在使徒行传的时候，新约教会在耶路撒冷的会议当中，所发现他是做了一些调整的，对吧？
Therefore, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, with the Jerusalem, just the conference, they made some adjustment.
Yeah, 耶路撒冷大会，使徒行传十五章我们讲过的嘛。雅各也是最后根据大家的分享、圣灵的带领和客观的印证，做了一个调整。外邦人信主就是遵行那么几条所谓的犹太律法就好了，不需要守全部。
Therefore, in Acts chapter 15, and when James said he mentioned during the meeting just that they made some adjustment about this.
那同样，保罗把自己当作是一个拿西亚人，把头发剃了，放在坛上献祭的这一件事来讲呢，其实也有他应用的地方，对吧？
Therefore, when Paul just imitate like a Nazarite to shave his hair, and actually there's a it's a way to apply from this the teaching.
一方面，我们看见保罗根据民数记第六章这个律法呢，自己遵行了犹太律法，这一点是很清楚的。
So we can see that the Paul just followed the law of God commanded in this book of Numbers.
因为遵行这个律法是表达人向上帝表达感恩的一种方式啊。
So when he followed the law, it just to represent, express his thanksgiving to God.
问题是保罗为什么要这么做？
So the key is, the question is, why Paul did this?
保罗自认自己的身份是一个向外邦人传福音的使徒，对吧？
Paul looked at himself. His position is the one to share the gospel and the apostle to share the gospel to the Gentiles.
但是当他在哥林多，当他在雅典，当他在希腊这个地方的时候呢？
So when he was in the Corinth, Athens, and the Greece.
虽然他已经开始向外邦人传福音。
Even though he already shared the gospel to the Gentiles.
但是他仍然还在遵行福音的优先次序。
However, he still followed the priority and of the order of the evangelism.
因为福音本是神的大能，要救一切相信的，先是犹太人，后是希腊人。
Because the gospel is the power of God, and first the Jews, and then the Gentiles.
所以换句话讲，他为了要向犹太人传福音呢。
Therefore, in order to share the gospel to the Jews.
当他面对犹太人的时候，他是守足律法的弟兄姐妹。
Therefore, when Paul faced the Jews, and he just keep the law.
但他的目的是为了耶稣基督的缘故，为了福音的缘故，他放下自己，因为是个外邦人的使徒，还有一个权柄不那么多的守全犹太律法的身份，而放弃甚至不遵循这个律法，他遵严格的遵循，对吧？
Therefore, in order to just win the Jews, and he just keep the laws.
我要讲的是什么呢？
So what I'm trying to say is,
他遵循犹太律法的目的是为了福音呐。
So the purpose for Paul to follow the laws is for the evangelism.
而不再是过去法利赛人那个因律法而遵行律法，而是因福音而遵行律法。
And it is not because just like the Pharisees, and he just followed the law just for the gospel.
其次是留下新的门徒啊。
Second, leave new disciples.
如果说提摩太是保罗栽培的第一代门徒的话呢？
If Timothy was a first generation of disciples cultivated by Paul.
那么百基拉、亚基拉夫妇则是第二代门徒，对吧？
Then Priscilla and Aquila were the second generation of disciples.
因为希拉是跟保罗一同出发的，我暂且把它当作是半代或者是一代第一代的使徒跟 跟保罗同行。
So I just consider that Silas he was the, an apostle of the same generation as Paul.
那上帝也让希拉成为一个带领者，带领提摩太留在庇里亚，对吧？
So God just Silas just be the leader, just let the Timothy to stay in the Berea.
而保罗也将百基拉、亚基拉夫妇呢留在了以弗所。
Also here, Paul just left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus.
可见，其实以弗所在保罗的心中是重中之重的位置啊，对吧？
Actually, so we can see Ephesus is very important. It has an important place in Paul's heart.
那么在这里梳理出来一个属灵的原则是什么呢？
So from here, and we can just see there's a spiritual principle.
就是教会是应该让门徒尽可能早、尽可能多的。在教会里担当重担啊。
So God should just let the disciples take on important responsibility in the church as early as possible.
这应该是圣经从一而终的使命策略啊。
And that is a consistent mission strategy of the Bible.
也盼望每一间属上帝的教会。
And I hope every church belongs to God.
都应该以门训作为教会的主要的驱动力。
And should take discipleship as its main driving force.
就是尽可能多的让更多的人成为担当天国使命的人，对吧？
That is to allow as many people as possible to become those who bear the mission of the kingdom.
在以弗所
，In Ephesus，
百基拉和亚基拉这一对夫妇呢
？So this couple, Priscilla and Aquila，
因着他是深得保罗的真传呐。
Because they just learn and the true just the knowledge and the skills of from Paul.
因为他们俩在哥林多与保罗一同在那里住了18个月。
Because in Corinth, they live Paul lived with them for 18 months.
一起支帐篷，一起工作，一起吃饭，一起传福音，一起生活18个月啊，弟兄姐妹。
And they work together to make the tent, also share the gospel for 18 months.
所以他们身上是产生门徒力的。
Therefore, they just had to produce the power of the discipleship.
什么是门徒力呢？
So what is the power of the disciple?
门徒力是一个新的名词，对吧？
Disciple, that's a new term, right?
Power of the disciple, 就是门徒力，就是使他人做门徒的那个能力。
So the power of the disciple, and that means, and that is your ability to make disciples.
那不但是能够使他人成为主的门徒。
Not only make the people just become God's disciple.
门徒力还能往上走多一步，成为使徒力。
Also, we can just go one step further and have the power of the apostle.
什么是使徒力呢？
So what is the power of the apostle?
使徒力就是开荒之堂，建立教会。
So the power of the apostle means, and they can just also do the church planting.
我盼望我们教会的弟兄姐妹，每一位弟兄姐妹既有门徒力，也有使徒力啊。
I hope our brother and sister not only have the power of the disciple, also the power of the apostle.
每一个人都应该学习去教导那些能够教导他人的人成为主的门徒。
So we just need to teach brother and sister who has the ability to teach others and just make disciples.
然后大家同心合意一起来建立教会。
And we just united to build a church.
这是我们生命的目标啊，弟兄姐妹。
Brother and sister, that's the purpose of our life.
我们若是不为此而活，我们的生命其实离主是很遥远的。
If we don't live like for this, and actually we're so far away from God.
而不要中了撒旦的诡计啊。
Do not fall into the trap of Satan.
反过来觉得上帝的事工、上帝的使命、上帝的生命离我好遥远啊。
And just that make you just that think God's mission, it's so far away from you.
好，我们来看最后是进入会堂的辩论啊。
Finally, enter the synagogue for a debate.
我原来上一堂道讲的就是辩论是保罗整个宣教途中好像常常会发生的事情，对吧？
In the last sermon, we just talked about a debate seems like a Paul experience oftentimes.
辩论的背后是什么呢？
So, what is the thing behind debate?
辩论的背后你要学习辩论吧。
And that is, you need to learn how to debate.
那个辩论的原则是什么呢？
Then what is the principle to debate?
是背后的逻辑。哲学和知识，对吧？
And that is the logic and the philosophy and your knowledge.
一个不学习的人，只要一去到辩论的场合当中，他除了诡辩，不会有别的能力的。
So a person, and if they just do not learn and just learn how to debate, and when they face debate, they will just go to the wrong way.
你不要忘了，保罗所在的地方是希腊这个国度啊。
Do not forget, the place Paul did and he stayed, that is Greece.
希腊人的辩论是他日常在公共场合当中对话的主要方式。
So for Greek and their debate, that is their this daily life.
有的时候我们平常谈话的时候，其实就某种程度上就是某一种辩论的一种雏形，或者说是一些变相的方式了。
Sometimes when we talk, it's just like the method of debate.
Yeah, 求神帮助我们吧。
May God help us.
让我们能够借着学习产生门徒力和使徒力了。
So just through the learning, we can produce the power of disciples and also the power of the apostles.
我走到这里，尝试去体会保罗去到以弗所，去到亚细亚，去到希腊，这样当时整个希腊文化。包围的这么一个环境当中去与人辩论。
So from this, I'm just trying to understand how Paul just that debate with those people in those different places.
他是一个怎样的心情呢
？What kind of mood he has?
他会有怎样的话题呢
？What kind of topic he would have?
他会怎么样的角度呢
？So which angle he would look?
其实他应该有很多的话题，很丰富的内容，对吧
？So Paul should have a lot of attention and topics, right?
以弗所是一个怎样的城市呢
？What kind of a city is Ephesus?
如果用一个总结性的话对他进行归纳的话呢
？If we just summarize for Ephesus,
以弗所可以说是始于希腊文化。
Ephesus began with Greek culture.
然后在历史当中发展于罗马帝国的时代。
In history, it developed just during the Roman Empire.
呀，甚至它是因为是东罗马帝国拜占庭的所在地呢。
And because it was a Byzantine's the seat of the Eastern Roman Church.
它最后甚至间接地成为了罗马帝国一个终结者的一个外在动因，很了不起的。
And also, it just even became the external cause of the end of the Roman Empire.
当然，现在它是归土耳其所有了。
Of course, now it belongs to Turkey.
现在的名字呢，就已经开始变了。
And its name has been changed.
首都也不在以弗所了。
The capital is no longer in Ephesus.
呀，当年的这个拜占庭现在变成现在的伊斯坦布尔了。
And Byzantine now is became the Istanbul.
整个回教化的历史就是他今天所披戴的外衣了。
So the Muslim and just with this as like just that the
按照教会的传统的说法呢
？According to church tradition.
呀，耶稣的母亲是被使徒约翰安排到以弗所这个地方来养老、终老，最后在那里。
So according to the church tradition, the mother of Jesus was arranged by the Apostle John to die peacefully here.
呀，基督教所承认天主教的七次大公会议当中呢
？So among this, the seven just great big meeting with the Catholic.
呀，其中的第三次大公会议。
The third the meeting.
呀，在431年，呀，就是在以弗所举行的。
And the third and ecumenical and the council was held in 431 was held in Ephesus.
在这一次会议当中，也处理了初代教会所面临的一些很大的一个异端的问题。
And they also faced the big issue about the first heresy.
好，当然保罗去辩论的初衷呢
？Of course, and Paul's original intention
仍然是证明耶稣基督就是弥赛亚。
Was still to prove that Jesus Christ was the Messiah.
是被犹太人所定死的基督啊。
And a crucified Christ of the Jews.
那因着这个缘故，也产生许多的挑战、纷争、困难，对吧
？Due to this reason, it just have a lot of the challenge and also difficulties.
好，我们来看第二点。
Let's look at the second point.
会堂里辩论。
Debate in the synagogue.
我们今天说起辩论，好像是一件轻松、容易、稀疏平常的事情，对吧
？When we talk about debate today, it seems to be easy, right?
但是在当时的环境。当时的场景，当时的内容是要冒风险的。
However, in the environment at that time, it was risky.
首先是指出犹太人的错。
First, point out the fault of the Jews.
呀，指出人的错来，呀，在任何时代、任何场景，都是一件极其困难的事情。
Pointing out people's mistakes is an extremely difficult thing in any era.
但是这在当时那个初代教会的环境当中。这就是教会的使命的瓶颈啊。
However, during the early church, that is the mission bottleneck of during that time.
呀，既是限制与挑战，也是机遇与扩展的。
And it is just was both a limitation and a challenge. Also, it is an opportunity and expansion.
在当时的情况来看呢
So looking at the time,
其实不需要保罗在传福音的时候，他的语言啊、态度啊、怎么样，他只需要陈述事实就好了。
In fact, there's no need for Paul's language or attitude when preaching the gospel. He only needs to just say the fact.
但就是会因为如此，犹太人心里边就感到扎心不舒服啊。
So when you just tell the facts, and then the Jews should just feel pricked.
原来我们所定死的竟然是创天造地的主啊。
It turns out that the one we crucified is the creator of heaven and the earth.
这个结论谁受得了啊，对吧？
Who can bear this conclusion?
当然，除非是我们甘心乐意放下自己生命当中的主权。
Of course, unless one is willing to lay down the sovereignties of his life.
否则就不可能谦卑受教，接受耶稣是基督的真理啊。
So otherwise, one just cannot be humble enough to be taught.
这在我们今天任何国家、任何文化、任何背景的人来讲，也都是类似的。
So it is the same just for anyone in different country.
呀，作为保罗，既然是主的旨意，就不顾一切的勇往直前了。
As Paul, since it was the Lord's will, he just moved forward.Courageously, just regardless of the cost.
其次呢，是保罗单独进会堂。
Second, Paul went into the synagogue alone.
啊，我们会特别留意到这一次保罗是选择自己进了会堂和犹太人辩论。
So this time, Paul just chose, just by he himself went into the synagogue and also reasoned with the Jews.
啊，坦率讲，这样的做法其实是冒风险的。
Honestly speaking, the way he did is very risky.
我们知道犹太人的生活方式其实大都比较封闭或者保守，对吧？
So we know the Jewish lifestyle is mostly closed and conservative.
呀，你如果在飞机上坐飞机，看到有一家人犹太人坐在你旁边，你会看得很清楚。
So when you just took the airplane and you can see that those Jews around you, their style.
他们基本上除了那个做父亲的以外，其他都不跟外人说话的。
Basically, for the whole family and the airplane, only the father is willing to talk to the outsider, but their family is very reserved.
一家人吃饭呢是自己带水，自己带食物，不吃飞机餐的。
So when they eat a meal, they only eat the food they brought, and they don't eat the food provided by the airline.
所以当他们见到保罗的时候呢
？So when they saw Paul,
这个过去是法利赛人，而且还是著名的拉比加玛列的弟子的时候，固然会很欢迎他吧。
So when I saw Paul, a former Pharisee and a disciple of the famous rabbi, the Gamaliel, they would certainly welcome him.
再加上保罗对圣经、对律法有非常深刻的了解了。
And besides, Paul just had a very deep understanding of the Bible, especially the law.
那么自然而然，彼此之间的对话的范围也会宽泛，也会深入的多，对吧？
And naturally, the scope of the dialogue between them would be much broader and deeper.
当然，这个时候的保罗已经不是初出茅庐的一个初哥了。
At this moment, Paul was no longer a fledgling brother.
他已经是第二次宣教时候的一个结尾的阶段了。
He was at the end of his second mission journey.
啊，他的成熟度已经有很多的成长了。
He should have just grown a lot in maturity.
呀，不会随意就抖掉身上的灰尘。
And he would no longer dust himself off casually.
也不会走到教堂会堂门口把脚上的灰尘随意给跺起来。
And he would not just easily just shake off the dust.
我猜他也更加不会轻易的就拒绝马可的参与宣教这样的行动。
And I guess nor would he easily just refuse Mark's participation.
他应该是比较多的娓娓道来、循循善诱这个阶段。
And I think maybe this is the stage, and he would just talk nicely and patiently.
我相信这个时候的保罗已经开始，就是第二次宣教旅行之后的保罗，开始成熟了。
I think after the second mission trip, Paul and his life become more mature.
呀，最后是留下一线，好说话呀。
Finally, just leave a hint to say in the future.
我们看看保罗在犹太会堂辩论讲道之后的情景是怎样的呢？
And let's see what's Paul's situation after he does a debate in the Jewish synagogue.
然后圣经说众人请他多住些日子啊。
So the Bible said they ask him to stay for a longer period.
那这里说的众人应该包括会堂里的犹太人吧。
The people here, and it should be the people in the synagogue.
或者至少是包括他们在内，对吧？
Or at least include them, right?
说明犹太人听见保罗的信息之后呢，还意犹未尽，仍想再听啊。
This shows that after Jews that heard Paul's message, they still wanted to hear it again.
其实这对我们是一个鼓励啊，弟兄姐妹，无论听的还是讲的，对吧？
So brothers and sisters, this is actually an encouragement for us.
其实不但鼓励，对我们也是一个劝勉和警醒。
So not only the encouragement, it's just like exhortation and
alertness. 就是说，即使是责备的信息呢？
That means even the message of rebuke.
也应当带着爱了。
So it should carry with love.
如果让对方感受到主的爱的话呢?
If people can feel the love from the Lord,
也会在基督里得着人的心啊。
And then, in this case, it will just win the hearts for the people in Christ.
这是我们平日里说话的时候用什么语气啊，选择什么词汇啊，持有怎样的态度，其实都是你要表达的信息的一部分。
So that means the tone that we use when speaking and the words we choose, also the attitude we hold, are all part of the message.
这个道理其实也很重要。
So this truth is so important.
而事实上，我们常常是将这多种关系的界限给分隔开来，不考虑。
In fact, oftentimes we just kind of divided all those boundaries.
我的目的就希望你做一餐饭给我吃嘛。
I just want you to cook a meal for me.
这是我的态度，我就给你耍个态度，就是不高兴呢，所以别人听起来好像不是要做饭，乃是跟我耍态度，那当然跟你也不客气嘛。
And then I just that give you the attitude, but with this, and then of course people will not be happy.
我记得我跟师母刚结婚的时候，我好像也有这样类似的情况发生。
I remember when I first just in the early when we got married, and I just faced my wife, I had that kind of attitude.
只是师母大多数情况都比较智慧了。
But oftentimes, most of the time, my wife, she is very wise.
当我说一些埋怨啊、不高兴的话的师母就会，满脸笑容的说。老公，你放心，我马上做饭给你吃啦。
So when I just complained, and my wife would just say, "Just don't worry, husband. I will just we'll quickly we'll have the food."
有的时候，我们一个温柔的态度，就把自己和旁边人也带到一个属灵的新的高度去了。
Sometimes with our gentle attitude, we can just bring and the people next to us just bring them one step further the spiritual height.
传福音有的时候不需要太性急呀。
When we share the gospel, we don't just be just too rush.
没有必要一次就把所有话都讲完呢。
So you don't have to say everything at once.
留下一线，日后好相见呢。
Just leave the hint so that you can just continue to talk in the future.
要日后还可以继续传福音啊。
And you can continue to preach gospel in the future.
留下一个福音的机会，你觉得不好吗？
So just leave the opportunity for the evangelism.
好，我们来看第三点。
Let's look at the third point.
回到耶路撒冷。
Return to Jerusalem.
回耶路撒冷。
Return to Jerusalem.
这是这两千多年来好像成为全世界的一个公共话题了。
For more than 2,000 years, it just become a topic.
而且不但是基督徒要回，犹太人要回，穆斯林和其他人也都要回啊。
Not only Christians want to go back, but Jews, Muslims, etc.Also want to go back.
甚至为了回耶路撒冷，不惜发动多次战争，对吧？
And in order to just go back to Jerusalem, and they just fought many wars.
那今天加沙、哈马斯跟以色列人之间争斗，也是要回到耶路撒冷。
Then today, and those battles just for the Gaza, and for those people, and they just want to return to Jerusalem.
呀，死伤了多少无数的宝贵的生命啊！
And just lost countless precious lives.
那么保罗为什么要回耶路撒冷呢？
So why did Paul go back to Jerusalem?
从保罗的角度来看，首先是要述职与连接啊。
So from Paul's viewpoint, first, just debriefing and the connection.
呀，保罗第一次宣教旅行的时候，大概是，主后公元的47年。
So Paul's first mission trip that was that A.D. 47.
到现在第二次宣教旅行结束。也已经到达了大概52年的时候。
So at the end of his second mission journey, that's A.D. 52.
要算起来有5年或者5年多的时间了。
So in total, about 5 years.
我相信这是圣灵的感动吧，也到了该回来述职的时间啦。
I believe it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's time to come back to report on his ministry.
即使今天的教会也会有一些这样的基本的理解了。
Even today's church, we have this kind of basic understanding.
如果宣教士常年在外，与教会没有什么联系的话呢？
If a missionary is away for many years and has little contact with the church,
其实对教会是不健康的。
Actually, it's unhealthy to the church.
也容易使教会对宣教士是有亏欠的。
Also, it just makes a debt to the missionary.
要透过述职呢，可以让教会了解宣教工厂的需要， 与趋势了。
Through debriefing, and the church can understand the needs and the trends of the mission field.
要从而调整教会的宣教的策略与方向啊。
Thereby adjusting the church's mission strategy and the direction.
当然，也可以让宣教士了解教会的需要，可以彼此的带导嘛。
Of course, it can also just allow missionaries to understand the needs and the prayer requests of the church.
远方的宣教士和本地的教会应该是一个彼此支持连接的关系，对吧？
So for the missionary and the church, we should have the relation, just we have a connection.
最后达到一个成全福音的广传呐。
At the end, achieve and the spread of the gospel.
要其次呢，是团契与得力呀。
Secondly, fellowship and the empowerment.
要从某种程度上来讲呢，宣教士可能是世界上最孤单的一个群体了。
From certain point to say, missionaries are the loneliest group in the world.
Yeah, 基本上宣教士也没有什么太多的可以沟通的人脉了。
Basically, missionary, they just have no connection to communicate with.
Yeah, 就是咬碎了牙齿也得往肚里边吞呢。
That is, whatever happened, you just have to kind of swallow that.
Yeah, 去你找任何宣教士满肚子的苦水，没有人吐的。
So, if you just meet those missionaries, they just have a lot of bitterness. They just kind of just keep that in their heart.
所以鼓励弟兄姐妹呢，各个每一个教会弟兄姐妹，就是见到自己教会的宣教士呢，多一份包容，多一份理解。他回来是见到亲人了，对吧
？Therefore, when we meet the missionary that the church support, we should just give them the love and just also just understanding and empathy.
要保罗一出门就遇到很多困难和瓶颈了。
So Paul encountered many bottlenecks as soon as he left home.
特别是人际关系方面的困难特别明显了。
Especially difficulties in interpersonal relationships.
这也是宣教士的一个第一大杀手。就是人际关系的问题。
This is the number one, just killing power, and that is the interpersonal relationship.
啊，保罗也不例外啊。
So Paul is an exception.
到了塞浦路斯呢，他发现他的同工有一个叫马可的跑回耶路撒冷去了。
Once in Cyprus, and Mark just fled back to Jerusalem.
你说他什么心情嘛
？So how can Paul feel?
情何以堪？中间出了叛徒。
How could that be? And someone just kind of betray.
人们对叛徒接纳度是很低的。
It's hard for people to accept someone just betray.
所以到第二次宣教旅程的时候，保罗坚持不带马可。
So Paul did not want to take Mark with him on the second mission trip.
但是刚好碰到同行的巴拿马呢，巴拿巴呢又刚好是马可的表哥。
However, Barnabas was the traveling with him and happened to be Mark's cousin.
他就坚持要把表弟马可带上，犯一次错，怎么就不给机会了呢？对吧
？Therefore, Barnabas just insisted to take Mark with him because he said, "How can we not give them the opportunity?"
那两个人就为此就发生矛盾，不可调和了。
For this, and so Paul and Barnabas they had a conflict.
那就分道扬镳呗。
Therefore, they just parted.
你走你的阳关道，我过我的独木桥，我跑了。
So you just go your way, I go my own way.
所以巴拿巴仍然对塞浦路斯还有负担，就去塞浦路斯了。
Therefore, Barnabas still has a burden about Cyprus, so he just went.
那保罗就不再去塞浦路斯，既然你去了，我就不去了。
So Paul just did not go to Cyprus.
这也促成了第二次宣教旅行，保罗仍然从安提阿往北上走，一直绕的就是希腊的那个山脉，中央山脉的山地，一直走到了雅典。
So that is why on the second mission trip, Paul just went from the Antioch and just go up west and to the Athens.
回来的时候呢，是坐船经过以弗所，然后去到凯撒利亚，也不经过塞浦路斯了。
On the way back, he went to Ephesus and then just Caesarea.
但是我相信，经过这第二次宣教旅行呢，保罗心中那个气也过了。
But I believe after the second mission trip, Paul's anger should be passed.
他也希望回到耶路撒冷能跟巴拿巴、马可见上一面呢。
And I think he just wants when he returns to Jerusalem, he probably can just meet Barnabas and Mark.
谁没有人际关系的问题都会有的。
So who do not have the problem of the interpersonal relation? We all have that.
我过去在法国宣教的时候，也跟同工也发生过矛盾呢。
I used to have a conflict when I served in France as a missionary.
虽然也遭受过一些陷害啊，也遭受过一些冤屈啊，哎呀，过就过了，都在永恒当中是亲人嘛。
Even though I've been mistreated in France, however, and the eternal life, we're still family.
有一年我跟师母回英国去参加我干女儿的一个婚礼，就我就希望跟她见一见呢，找别的同工跟她联系联系，她不肯出来见面呢。
So one year, my wife and I, we went to England to attend a wedding, and I hope I can see this brother, but he just did not come to meet with us.
会感受到有些可惜了。
I just kind of regret.
当然，有那个感受，在读这个经文，就理解保罗那个时候要回耶路撒冷的心情了。
So.After that, when I read the verses, I can just pretty much just feel and how Paul feel.
他心里边期待的见了巴拿巴，见了马可，把话讲开就好了嘛。
And he just hoped he can see Barnabas and Mark and just be open and speak out.
当然，他也希望见到彼得、雅各的教会领袖，分享一下工厂的需要，分享一下福音的需要，彼此有一个连接力啊。
Of course, he also wants to meet like Peter and James, the church leader.They can have to come to share with each other to gain the strength.
好，最后就是预备再出发了。
Finally, get ready to go again.
从经文的细节我们来看呢。
Judging from the details in the verses,
保罗原本的计划甚至不回耶路撒冷。
So Paul's original plan was not to return to Jerusalem.
他是直接从哥林多就返回叙利亚了。
He was just planning to return to Syria from Corinth.
而安提阿刚好是叙利亚的出海口嘛。
And Antioch, it's just like near the harbor, just for and there.
他是从安提阿出来回到安提阿，非常合理啊。
He left from Antioch and returned to Antioch. That sounds very reasonable.
有始有终嘛，对不对？
And that is that he has a beginning and the end.
但是主的道是高过我们的道的。
However, the Lord's way is higher than our way.
圣灵在其中也是有可能调整的。
And the Holy Spirit has the power to adjust within it.
我猜呢，可能是保罗上了船才开始做这个重新调整的打算的。
I'm just guessing. Perhaps Paul have this plan when he just got on the boat.
因为人上了船，面对个大海，就有可能有安静的时间呢。
Because when he arrived on the boat, maybe he has a quiet time to think.
而圣灵往往感动我们的时候，就是在我们安静的时候。
So.During our quiet time, and the Holy Spirit will just inspire us.
因为人一安静，就知道耶和华是神啦。
Once we just be quiet, and then we know, and that the Jehovah is God.
可能在这个安静的时候，圣灵就感动保罗回个耶路撒冷呗。
And maybe during this quiet time, the Holy Spirit just inspired Paul to go to Jerusalem.
那还是需要述职才对啊。
And you need to go back to report on your ministry.
当然，其实圣经并没有花太大的笔墨告诉我们保罗这一次回耶路撒冷的情况。
Of course, and the Bible and the Scripture didn't tell us too much about Paul's situation in Jerusalem.
他遇见了谁，做了什么，说了什么都没有讲。
And the Bible didn't tell us who he met, what he did, and what he said.
我看八成也有些跟他过去是有些关联了。
And I guess it's related to his past.
啊，可能人们说啊，这个就是当年逼迫我们的，快躲开的这种心情，在弟兄姐妹当中也难免仍然会在了。
So inevitably, maybe the people in Jerusalem they just said, "Oh, Paul's the one we used to meet."
当然，也包括教会本身会众的改变了。
Also, it includes the congregation change in the church.
一间教会五年、七年以后，可能面目全非了。
So, and a church, maybe within 5 to 7 years, and the people all change.
呀，五年前、七年前在教会里活跃的人，可能早就不见了。
The people used to be active 5 or 7 years ago. Now they're not there anymore.
仍然还在教会的就那几个核心的骨干了。
So the congregation still stay in the church, maybe only the key person.
而这些人跟保罗其实没有太多的关系了。
And they may not have this much relation with Paul.
第三个原因当然就是保罗人在耶路撒冷，心却还在宣教工厂了。
And the third reason is Paul is physically in Jerusalem, but his heart was on the mission field.
叫希拉和提摩太还在庇利亚呀。
Sila and Timothy, and they were in Berea.
百基拉和亚居拉也被保罗留在了以弗所嘛。
And Priscilla and Aquila were left behind by Paul in Ephesus.
一个在土耳其，一个在希腊，他当然心里边放不下嘛。
So just one in Turkey and one in Greece, of course he cannot just lay down his heart.
而保罗作为他们的属灵的领袖，心急如焚呀，归心似箭，想快快回到宣教工厂去。
So Paul, as their spiritual leader, and he was very anxious. He just wanted to return to the mission field soon.
所以大概率来讲呢，保罗在耶路撒冷所待的时间应该不长。
Therefore, there's a high probability Paul should not just stay in Jerusalem for too long.
他应该很快就回到了安提阿。
And he should just soon return to Antioch.
准备第三次宣教旅行啊。
And was ready to set out his next mission journey.
好，感谢主。
Praise the Lord.
保罗第三次宣教旅行就结束在这里啦。
So Paul's the second mission journey ended here.
神让我们看见保罗的重点不是自己。在犹太会堂是如何辩论，对吧？
God just let us see that the Paul's focus was not on how he argued in the synagogue.
乃是让我们看见他是如何建立门徒、栽培门徒、放手训练门徒，对吧？
But on how to establish, cultivate, and train disciples.
好，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray.
天父，感谢赞美你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
谢谢你的荣耀在天上。
Thank you for your glory in heaven.
谢谢你将平安赐给我们的生命里边。
Thank you. You just gave us your peace.
我们看见保罗在《使徒行传》的行程。
And we see that this the journey of Paul that in the book of Acts.
我们就明白神你的心意是什么。
Then we understand about your heart, Lord God.
求主继续的带领我们。
Lord, may you to continue to guide us.
赐福加力。
Just bless and strengthen us.
让教会能够专注在你的身上。
So that the church can focus on you.
感谢祷告奉耶稣基督得胜的名求。
We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.